Let me read to you from Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 36 through 40. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to talk about real praise this morning. You know, I read that last verse. I'm going to focus really in on a couple of verses. First is verse 37, and then we're going to look at verse 40. But verse 40 says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I was just trying to, you know, get a picture in my mind of what that would be like. You know, I kept thinking about what would it look like if the stones began to cry out. Oh, and an image began to form in my mind as what that might be like. And I thought, well, that's probably the beginning of Christian rock right there. You don't think it was those stones? Could have been. They're old enough. They look old enough. All right. Well, anyway, let me read verses 37, 38 to you one more time. And just think about this now. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, you know, when it talks about the disciples there, it's not just talking about the 12. There were lots and lots of people who followed after Jesus, had become devoted to him and continued with him. So there were hundreds of people who were with Jesus on that day. And so it says, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. They cried, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Well, that was real praise. You know, the Lord didn't have to have the stones cry out because the people were crying out. The people were praising Him, and that's real praise. And so, you know, since it's Palm Sunday, I want us to take some time and I want us to think about praise. Think about what it is and what it's like. And I want to start with who should praise. What does the Scripture say about it? Who should praise? Everyone should praise. Raise your hand if you need to praise the Lord. Every hand should be up in the air if you're breathing. If you're not breathing, then you don't have to. And the reason I say that, Psalm 150 verse 6 says this, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." So, if you can't think of anything to praise the Lord about, praise Him that you're breathing, because it's because of Him that you are. It is in Him that we live and move and have our being, right? So everyone should praise the Lord. It's the right thing for everyone to do. Everything should praise the Lord. You know, the Bible indicates that all creation sings His praises. Psalm 96 verse 11 says this, "Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout His praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise before the Lord, for He is coming." Isn't that a cool picture? I don't know where that tree is, but that's a neat tree. Wish it was in my yard. A praising tree. But above all, the people of God, the body of Christ, the redeemed, should praise Him and worship Him and serve Him with gladness. Verse 37, which I read a moment ago, says, "The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen." The whole crowd of disciples. You know, not everyone was praising Jesus. Not everybody in Jerusalem was praising Jesus that day. But the believers and their children were praising Him that day. Those that followed him and knew him were praising him that day. And that's a right and proper thing for God's people to do. That's the right and proper thing for the church to do. It's the reason the church was created, is to praise God, to praise the Son. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." I'm always looking at the Scripture and looking for those little things. That's what the Sunday school class that I'm teaching, that's what we're really learning how to do better and better. And right in the middle of that is a "so that." That's the reason. It gives you the reason. It gives you the purpose. It says, "You chosen, God's made you into a priesthood. He's made you into a holy nation, a holy people, a people that belong to God." Why did He do that? Why did He need to do that? Why did He want to do that? It gives you the answer. "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So you can praise Him. That's your purpose. Praise is the believer's native language. We should speak the praises of God. It's who should praise? That's us. What will we praise God for? What are the reasons to praise? Well, let me give you some reasons to praise God. First of all, on that day, it says, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. They'd seen God do mighty works. Have you ever seen God do any mighty works? Benny, have you ever seen God do any mighty works? Yes, sir. And a lot more than that. Once I was dead, and now I'm alive. Once I was blind, and now I see. For some people, that's literally true, is it not, Joni? God has done some mighty works in our midst. And we can praise God for His mighty works. You know, the whole universe proclaims the quality and the immensity of God's workmanship. And our God is not only mighty to create and faithful to provide, and He is, He's also mighty to save and faithful to preserve. You know, we are saved and we are kept by the mighty power of God. It's not by us, not by our own strength that we're saved or kept. It's because of the mighty power of God at work in us that we are saved and that we are kept. And so we can praise God for that, can we not? I was thinking about that, and you know, according to the Scripture, everyone in heaven will know that for certain. There's a place in Revelation, it's Revelation 15:3, and this is kind of a nice song. Somebody wrote a nice tune to this. We've never done it here, but it's a good one. And it says, "And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb." And here's the way that song starts. "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty." What a song, what a hymn to sing to God in praise of His mighty works. So I would just say to you, first of all, God's works are praiseworthy. So I would say, praise Him for His mighty works. We could go on, we could praise God for His goodness. Psalm 136 says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." I think we talked about that last week. His love endures forever. But He is good. That means that His character is good. God is good. What God does is good. What God creates is good. You remember, you read through the account of creation? Everything that God made, He stood back and He looked at it and He said, "It is good." And that's true. Because whatever God does is good. What God does is what defines good. And so I would remind you that His goodness is praiseworthy. And so I would instruct you to praise Him for His goodness. If you can't think of anything to praise God for, think about His goodness and praise Him for that. You can praise Him for His mercy. In Lamentations, it says this, "I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease." It goes on to say they're new every morning. Those words were written by Jeremiah. We've talked about Jeremiah a time or two. Jeremiah was a prophet of God. He lived at a very difficult time in the life of God's people. The northern kingdom was gone. It had been destroyed. The people had been assimilated into other cultures. Only the southern kingdom remained. And that kingdom had been overrun by Babylon, by the armies of Babylon. They had literally destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They had destroyed the temple of God in Jerusalem. The best and the brightest of the people in Judea had been taken off into exile into Babylon. Jeremiah was left with the remnant, whatever was left that the Babylonians didn't think was worth taking. There was Jeremiah with them. There was starvation. And Jeremiah says, "I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease." You know, by definition, mercy is not being given what you deserve. Make that personal. Think how much you need God's mercy. Where would you be? What hope would you have without it? Here's a plain truth. The wages of sin is death. Apart from the mercy of God, everybody in this room should have died in childhood. Because the first chance we got to sin, we did. It's by the mercy of God that we remain. It's because God loves us and does not desire to give us what we deserve. In fact, He gives us what we don't deserve and can't earn. God's mercy is worthy of your praise. And so I say, praise Him for His great mercy. Praise Him for His faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:8 and 9. This is an encouraging passage to me. It says this, "He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful." He will keep you to the end. He's committed to that. He's devoted to that. That's what His chesed is all about. Remember that? Philippians 1:6. "Be confident of this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus." Kind of the same thing, isn't it? That's the promise that we have. And that promise rests not in our goodness, but in the faithfulness of our God to keep His covenant promises. You see, He is absolutely committed to fulfill His covenant promises. And He doesn't give in. He doesn't give up. God has called you and He will keep you. God remembers every promise and He keeps every promise. I think God's faithfulness is praiseworthy. Praise God for His faithfulness. I was looking at a passage in Isaiah 6. And this is, even though it's in 6, it's kind of the story of the calling of Isaiah the prophet. And he says this, that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. He got a vision of heaven. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And it says His train filled the temple. And the angels were there. The cherubim were there before the throne of God, and they were singing to God. And the song that they sang was, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." That's what they sang. Holy. You know, we should praise God for His holiness. God is holy in two ways. There's two ways to describe the holiness of God. First of all, God is holy because He exceeds, He transcends everything that He has made. There is no God apart from our God. He's unique in every way. He's set apart and is above everything. And so God is holy. But the other way to see it is that God is holy because He is utterly pure and right. Everything that He does is right. There is no corruption in God at all. John wrote it this way. He said, "God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." So praise God because He is holy. And He's majestic. Praise God for His majesty. 1 Chronicles. David was praising the Lord. And this is what he said. He said, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. The Lord Almighty reigns. He rules in power and justice. Splendor and majesty adorn His presence." Our God is an awesome God. See, that's not just a song. That's the truth. Our God is awesome in His presence. He's awesome in all of His ways. And we can praise Him for His majesty. Mighty works, goodness, mercy, faithfulness, holiness, majesty. Enough reasons to praise God? Well, let's think about ways to praise God. As I read through that passage that I read to you at the beginning, it says this, the whole crowd of disciples, not just some disciples now, not just the special disciples, not just the ones in the choir, not just the ones in the praise team. It says the whole group, all the disciples that were there, all those who were following Jesus, what did they do? They began to joyfully praise God. So I would tell you, joyfully is a way to praise. We need to praise joyfully. And that's not just my idea, although I like it. The Scripture says this, "Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy." I like this. "Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King." Isn't that good? Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King. Break out in praise. You know, I've heard of a flu outbreak. I've never heard of a praise outbreak. But that's what this is talking about. I think it's kind of the same. I think it's contagious. You want to be in a church where people praise God? Start praising God. Start praising Him joyfully in the midst of the congregation and see what happens. It needs to be joy. That's part of praise, isn't it? So joyfully praise the Lord. In the Psalm 100, I started to read Psalm 100 earlier. And in fact, I read this part of it. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord." What does it sound like when you all shout? You know, this is Palm Sunday. Hosanna would be a good thing to shout. Let me hear you shout Hosanna right now. A louder. Hosanna! Yeah, that means save us. You think we need saving? Sure. I think everybody in the United States of America needs to shout Hosanna today. Hosanna to the Son of David. We need some saving going on, don't you think? Yeah, we need to be drawn closer to God. And you know, it's okay to be loud. It's okay to be loud. Psalm 95 says this, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord." There's that joyful part. It says, "Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." Now, this is what happened on that day as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. It says this, "The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices." In loud voices. They weren't hiding. They weren't trying to keep under the traffic noise. No, they wanted to be heard. There's a guy in England, a worship leader's name's Graham Kendrick, and he started doing this thing that they called praise marches. And what they would do is the people would go out into the street. He wrote a whole bunch of songs that kind of go at a walking speed. And so they would take their guitars and they'd go out in the street and they would sing praises to God. Now, he said it's not evangelism. They didn't go out there for the unbelievers that were going to hear them. They went out there because it's the right thing for the people of God to do. Right? That's what he did. That's what they do. We need to do that once sometime just for fun. How many of you would show up if I had a praise march? Eight people. No, okay. So the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Joyfully, loudly. Now, why, that's just not dignified. I would never be part of such a spectacle. That was my Pharisee voice, by the way. As it goes on, the next verse says this, "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're praising loudly. They're praising joyfully. You make them stop.'" Well, I want to tell you the truth. Now, listen carefully to this. I put 3 stars by this. That means I'm going to read it at least twice. Here's the truth. God is never offended by the joy or the volume or the passion of your praises. God is never offended by the joy or the volume or the passion of your praises. Can you get that down into your heart? Some Pharisee may be offended, but God is never offended by your praises. No matter how joyful they are, no matter how loud they are, no matter how passionate they are, that's real praise. I think if the stones were praising, that's the way they would do it. Any of the stones in question. Somebody's going to listen to this on the internet and it's not going to have the picture. They got no idea what I'm talking about. Don't make God replace you with a rock. Okay? Another way to praise God, to praise Him joyfully, loudly, with all that you have. Praise Him with all that you have. I love Psalm 150. There's a couple of imperatives in Psalm 150. At the beginning and the end, it says, "Praise the Lord." At the end, it says, "Praise the Lord." If you read that in Hebrew, the word at the beginning and the end of this psalm is hallelujah. When we say hallelujah, that's what it means. You translate it into English, it means praise the Lord. It actually would be, you all praise the Lord. Y'all praise the Lord, if you're going to put it into panhandle language. Right, that's what it means. And then it says, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. We talked about earlier. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that breathes, here it is again, praise the Lord. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. So we can use instruments, we can use dancing, we can use percussion, we can use our voices, but whatever we have, That's what we use to praise the Lord. Turn everything that you have into an instrument of praise. That's how you make a symphony, a joyful symphony before God. The most important thing, the imperative, is praise the Lord. When to praise. You know, when you've been blessed, when God has been active in your life and you know it, that's a good time to praise the Lord. That's a good time to praise the Lord. Give Him thanks. But you know what? When you got trouble, especially when you're depressed or discouraged, you know the way out? Praise. Praise the Lord. That's the way out. That's the way out of the darkness. Because God, He's still God. Everything that we said about God, the reasons to praise Him, they're still true. Right? No matter what your circumstances might be at that moment. So when you've been blessed, praise God. When you're in need, praise God. So the answer to the question is, always. See, whatever you're thinking, however you might be feeling, whatever your level of comfort or contentment is, God is still God and is more than worthy of your praise. Turning back to David, Psalm 145, he says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. He didn't just say on the good days, on the days when I feel good, on the days when you make me happy. He says, I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. You know, it's not just when God does what seems right in our eyes. God is always right. And He's always worthy. And so it's always proper and right to praise Him. And if you want to do it with a little volume, that's okay. If you want to do it with a little passion, that's okay. If you can muster a little joy, that just makes it better. But praise the Lord. Lord, we come to You this morning. And we do offer our praises to You. Lord, we know that when You rode into Jerusalem on that day, Lord, You knew what faced You. You knew what was coming. But that day, Lord, You received the praises of Your people. And Lord, we want to continue that praise. We want that praise to continue to ring in our lives where we live and learn and work and play. Let those be places where praise of God is a natural, normal sound. Help us, Lord, to always look to You with gratitude and with joy. You are worthy of our praise. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen.